Thank you again, team. We human beings are obsessed with identity. We're obsessed with seeking an answer to this question: who am I? Sometimes we don't know that's the question that we're asking, but we search for identity all the time. In our friends and family, in our popularity, in our relationships, in our desires, hungers, ambitions, scratch beneath the surface of these things, and you find that there's a deep yearning to know who we are and for others to know who we are. We want to know our identity and we want others to see it. I don't know if you've ever been through a sort of an identity crisis, or at least an identity question. Some of you in the room are retired. Sometimes big changes in life bring big questions about identity. If I'm retired from work, who am I now that I don't have work to do? Or the work that I used to do. Some of you have had children move out of home. Who am I as a parent now that my children have flown the coop? Some of you might be only recently moved out of home, or some of you might be facing a big change. You're leaving school or leaving university. Whatever the phase of life that you're in, these big changes bring questions of identity, because our identity gets wrapped up in what we do, right? Who am I now that I don't have the title of student or the title of or the role of being a son or daughter living at home? We have to face that question for ourselves when we leave home. You know, until you leave home, your identity is very tightly wrapped up with your parents, your siblings. And then maybe you move out, you go flatting, or you move to the halls. And you begin to ask questions of identity. Who am I in and of myself? I'm still related to my family. I still love them. But I don't know who I am. This is a silly example, but no, I pressed the wrong one. I don't know if you've noticed, like, I like to kind of keep track of the memes, you know, like what's happening in the world on social media. And I think that a lot of what's happening now has to do with identity. There's two things that are really common. One is you'll see a picture on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and it'll have a little description, and the picture will be quite funny. And the common thing to do is to tag yourself or to tag a friend and say, "This is so me," or "This is you," or whatever, right? That's speaking to identity. It's silly, but what you think is you see this little picture and it says, "Oh, that says something about who I am." This is another sort of common thing now. You see lots of these. This is which brunch dish are you, but there's a million of them. Which Avengers character are you? Which Star Wars character? You know, which, I don't know, Jake Peralta's face are you today? You know. This one here, just so you know, I'm not criticizing the search for identity through memes on the internet. This is something I actually shared online myself, because I didn't make it up, but I did share it because I thought it was hilarious, right? Now, I don't know if you can read this from a long way away, and if you're not really on social media much, this might be totally lost on you, but you know, this sort of thing is what people share all the time. And you look at these pictures and you read, you know, this is kind of who I am. And I read the Eggs Benedict one down the bottom right here, bottom right. And I read it, and I had this little almost thrill of, wow, that really describes me perfectly, right? For one thing, Eggs Benedict is my favorite. You know, I'll always order that. Unhealthy coffee addiction. Okay, check. That's true of me. Always late. That's sort of true. That's, you know, but stressed about work they could have started weeks ago. If that's not me, I don't know what is, right? Whoops, I forgot. You know, I'm saying that all the time. And the last one is, has a floordrobe, right? Does anyone know what a floordrobe is? Ask Adam. Adam, you and me both, bro. So what I'm saying is, I read that, and it may seem silly, but I honestly had this little sort of like, wow, that's so me. It's like looking into a mirror or seeing a reflection of yourself suddenly that takes you by surprise, and all of a sudden it captures something of your identity. Okay, it's silly, you know, it's a joke. But I think the response and the popularity of these sorts of things, they speak to something deeper going on within humans, that actually we want to know who we are, and we want to be able to describe who we are, and we want people to see who we really are. This search for identity, I think, is the same reason we connect with certain songs. I don't know, you may have done this, or you may have known someone who's done this, who they're at a party, or maybe you're driving in the car and you're listening and the song comes on and you're like, oh, this is my song, this is all about me, right? Of course, it's not all about you. The person who wrote it doesn't know you from a bar of soap, but this is all about me. That's about identity. That's saying this artistic expression has brought something out that I think is true right in the depths of who I am. Maybe our hunger for identity is the part of the popularity behind that Hillsong song that came out, I think, this year, Who You Say I Am. It's all about, explicitly, about identity. How does the song go? I am chosen, not forsaken. You are for me, not against me. It's a song where the singer is declaring the identity that this person had, that I have in God. And I was reflecting on this song during the week because it's really quite clever. The song throughout, the line throughout is, I am who you say I am. You might have picked up in that line that I am is the way God describes himself. Hundreds, maybe 1,000 years before Jesus, Moses encounters God in the burning bush. And Moses says, what's your name? And God says, I am who I am. In other words, God is defined by being God. God doesn't say, I am the son of this person, or I am a person who works in this job. The way that we might, you know, someone asks, who are you? You might say, oh, I am the son of Martha. God is who God is. God says, I am who I am. God is holy, God is transcendent, God is other, God is beyond us, God is unique and not dependent on us. God is the great I am. Now, the lyrics of the song, I am who you say I am, are clever because it's the singer who's a person and not God, adopting that phrase, I am. Right? Now, this would be arrogant to just go around saying, I am this, that, and the other thing. But it's not arrogant because the line in the song is, I am who you say I am. It's a kind of a daring combination, that song, of humility with a confidence without arrogance. I am who God says I am. And there's this sense in the song, there's this confidence but yet still humble sense that I am lifted up and given an identity in God. It's not that God is everything and I am nothing. It's that that was true, but now God has lifted me up to be something in God. That this is, that I have an identity that God has given me. It's not a song saying, I am who I say I am. It's a song that says, I am who God says I am. Now, the reason this all occurred to me during the week, this played out in my mind, is that for the next few weeks through the summer, I wanted us to look at some statements that Jesus made about his own identity. Because Jesus, in John's Gospel, also uses this statement, I am. There are several times where he says simply, I am. At one point, he's arguing with some interlocutors, you know, some people challenging him and accusing him of things. And he brings up Abraham and they say, oh, but, you know, you're not even 50 years old. How do you know about Abraham? And he says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, in the story in John's Gospel, the Jewish people he was talking to know how significant that is. And they pick up stones and they plan to kill him. Because what he's done is blasphemy, right? He said, I am. But Jesus also uses this phrase, I am, in a metaphorical sense. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate or the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. For the next few weeks, we're going to unpack some of those images. Look at those metaphors and what they mean. It's significant, of course, that he uses the statement, I am. It's not accidental. The reason that we want to look at this stuff is first we want to know who Jesus is. Who did Jesus say that Jesus is? But beneath that question of who Jesus is, or maybe I should say embedded within the question of who Jesus is, I want us to seek an answer to the question that we often start with, which is, who am I? Because our identity is found in Jesus. So we need to know who Jesus is, to know what our identity in him is. This whole searching for identity thing is not an accident, right? The fact that we want to know who we are is not a flaw in our design. We do have flaws, and sometimes our search for identity and meaning goes a bit wrong, and we look for identity in the wrong place, or we put too much emphasis on something in our search for identity. Maybe we seek to find our identity in those things I mentioned before, in popularity or in work or in being a parent. None of those things are bad, right? But they're not where we are called to get our identity from. They are created things like us, but the call on our lives is to find our identity in the uncreated God, the one who says, I am. So often, we forget that lesson. If you've been around the church long enough, you've probably heard it said to you before that your identity is in Christ and not in what you do, right? But how easy is it to drift back into a way of life, a way of thinking, a mode of being, where our identity is not wrapped up in who God says we are, but it's wrapped up in something that we're trying to do or that we're trying to be. We drift back into a way of life where we seek a sense of identity in sex or in money or the things of the world. Maybe for you it's in success at business or at school. Maybe we search for identity with the people around us and we never really form deep friendships and relationships because we're always looking for a new group of friends. Maybe like me, you've got a temptation to broadcast your identity online, to sort of self-describe yourself so that people see who you think you are. Too often that is how I think. Maybe we seek a sense of identity by the approval or the affection or the attention of others, that we want other people to tell us who I am. The good news, though, is that I am not who my Facebook friends say I am. I am not the number of likes on my posts, and I am not what some meme tells me I am, as accurate as that may be. I am who God says I am. You are who God says you are. And that is to be found in Jesus. And to discover who we are, we need to ask the deeper question, or maybe the higher question, is who does God say God is? And who is Jesus? Who is Jesus for us? So that's for the next few weeks. We're going to look at Jesus' statements. I am. In the time that we have left, I want to sort of pivot and just look at one of these statements. Maybe. Maybe not. I wonder which brunch dish Jesus would have been. Anyway, the question is, go now? No? All right, never mind. Wade, my friend Wade there, read out from John 6 this line where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. There it is. Fantastic. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am, says Jesus, the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, and which I will give for the life of the world. Let me indulge me a second that the bread of life is a statement about who Jesus is for us. And I think it's also a good image for this question of who we are and how we discover who we are. The first point is that this bread that Jesus describes comes down to us from heaven. Our identity in God is given to us by God. It's not something that you have to earn. It's not something that you have to appear to receive. It's a gift. Now, when you look at a loaf of bread, you might not think very much about it. It might just represent something to eat, something to sustain you for the day. But if you sort of think about a loaf of bread 2,000 years ago for a bunch of poor people, a loaf of bread is not just your sustenance. A loaf of bread also represents, in a strange way, work. Because you probably had to go out and till your fields and grow the grain and grind up the kernels and bake the, you know, bread. And everything about that loaf of bread is work. But Jesus says that the bread that he is, the bread of life, is bread from heaven. It's bread that you didn't earn. It's bread that you haven't achieved on your own. The life that God has for you, the identity that God has for you, is not based on what you can do for God. The good news of that is it doesn't matter what you've done. God offers you this gift. It's not just that you don't have to reach a certain standard. It's that you've already broken the standard, and yet God gives you this identity. The bread of life that is a gift from heaven. Elsewhere, Jesus teaches us to pray, and he says, give us this day our daily bread. Bread is not something that you eat once and then never return to again. Bread is something that we take in daily. We need it for sustenance. Now, I love big sort of spiritual experiences. And I love camps and festivals, and I love worship services. But especially, I think, through my late teens and 20s, I had a kind of an events mentality about my spiritual life. The way it worked was I sort of went to some big thing and I filled up on bread. I encountered Jesus, I stuffed my face, and I felt bloated the way I literally do now after Christmas. And then I didn't eat again for a long time. Part of the lesson of bread, I think, is that we need to continually go to God for this bread. Not in a works sort of way. Not in a, oh, I have to do my quiet time, or I have to read my Bible, otherwise I'm not going to be a good Christian. But as a response. Because God has given us bread. God has given us the food that we need. So when we come to open the scriptures, or if we come to spend time with God in prayer, spend time with Jesus, that's a gift. We don't have to achieve it. We just have to receive it. So those are my, I guess, three things about bread from God. The first is that Jesus is God's gift to us of bread. It's not bread that we have to earn or achieve. The first was that Jesus is the bread. The second is that this bread from heaven is a gift that we don't have to achieve. And the third is that this bread from heaven comes to us daily and it can sustain us daily. I read this article when I was studying and it was entitled Quiet Time Guilt. And it was the whole thing was about this notion that we are driven by guilt to spend time with God, right? And you can see the irony of that is that spending time with God is exactly what we need to do. But the problem with doing it from a place of guilt is that it taints the way that we spend our time with God. We do it out of obligation. We do it out of an insufficiency. And so it actually turns what should be a gracious gift into a work. It turns it into something that we have to achieve. It sets us out in the field tilling and growing grain and grinding flour, when really our privilege, the gift, the joyful gift we've been given, is that we just sit and receive. We haven't had a family prayer this morning, which is deliberate, because I want us to pray for one another. Okay? So, at your tables, if you're by yourself, maybe join someone else's table. But for the next maybe 10 minutes, I'd like you to just pray for one another. You don't need to know exactly what's going on in another person's life. But I think looking forward to the year 2019, I invite you to bless one another with the bread of life from heaven. Bless one another in the name of Jesus. Okay, pray at your tables for each other, and I'll close us off in 10 minutes. What's that?